Welcome to the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, where we talk with martial arts practitioners about their histories and the influence that their practice of martial arts has on their lives. You are listening to the free version of this podcast, which is abbreviated. Help support this program by considering to subscribe to us on Patreon, where you will get 4 full-length podcasts each month, 1 week before the YouTube release date. The cost is that of about 1 coffee shop coffee per month. Go to www.patreon.com/malmag to subscribe. That is www.patreon.com/malmag. If you would like to purchase single full-length episodes of the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, visit our Gumroad page at malmag.gumroad.com, and that is malmag.gumroad.com. In this episode, I get on Zoom and I talk with Jay Cooper, who's from Calgary, Canada. You guys may know him as the face and the voice of Reality Check, Fight After the Fight, on social media. We have a chat with him about his history, how he went from England to Canada, and about all the different programs and martial arts he's doing. All right, everybody, welcome to the Martial Art Lifestyle Podcast. In this episode today, I've got a good friend of mine that I've never met. Again, kind of like I've done in the past with the Yuski. This is Jay Cooper, who is currently from Canada, but he's not originally from there. I've always enjoyed Jay. I think the first time I ran across him on some crazy ass Facebook group, I'm sure, where there was discussions with some knuckleheads, and I kind of liked the way I believe that Jay handled it, made me laugh. And so I immediately got in contact with this guy, and he's been doing some phenomenal videos and programs out there on breaking down essentially kind of what is, I guess, viral fight videos and such. He does an excellent job doing that, and other things like that. And we'll talk to him about that. So Jay, welcome to the show. I appreciate you taking some time to sit down with me.
No, thank you, brother. It's an absolute honor to be on the show with you. I was chuffed to bits when you asked me to use the English vernacular.
So I think, as you can tell by his accent, if you know anything about accents, it's not a Canadian accent, but he is from Western Canada, I believe in the Calgary area, which I have people up there. So I'm hoping at some point to get up there and actually check you out, meet you.
Whatever. Actually, I've literally just moved about just outside of Calgary to a little town called Strathmore. So my club is still in Calgary, but I actually live just in a small town on the outskirts. Much more sedate, nicer place.
Now, it's like, it's funny. Guru Dan would come up there and do a seminar at Marvin Ishmael's place. And one of the things that some local thing awarded him with something, and he came back with a cowboy hat. So is it like cattle country or something up there?
Oh yeah, big time. We got a huge, we actually have the largest outdoor rodeo in the world, and the Calgary Stampede. So we got massive cattle farmers, big cowboy lifestyle, ranch style, especially in Alberta. And we often call Alberta's, like, you know, Canada's Texas. That isn't always a compliment, but we'll take it as one this time around. And they have this thing called White Hat, which is kind of, it's like, welcome to the city. You're an honorary White Hat. It's not quite the key to the city, but it's a similar sort of thing. You know, someone of note that comes to visit our city, you know, we'll stick this white hat on your head as a shine of appreciation that you come to visit us in our little, you know, backwater hick town with 100 yards of pavement and things like that, you know.
Wow.
It's a big city.
My assumption that I keep thinking of it as probably a very beautiful place. And I do remember it from the Olympics that were held there.
Yes. Now, it's grown a lot since then. But Calgary's a stunning town. It wasn't the first place I came to. I originally went to Edmonton, which is about 3 or 4 hours north of here, which is actually the capital of Alberta.
And, yeah, I know through hockey, apparently. I know there's nothing there, right?
There is a game, which is called hockey. It's one of the few things I've been able to become acclimatized to. I still don't get it. When I lived in the States for a year, I didn't get baseball either. I'm like, well, okay.
I would think you'd get hockey a little easier, buddy. You do some Filipino martial arts. It's just whacking a guy with a stick, right?
Oh, no, I get that bit. I just don't. I'm like, all right, this is good, is it? You know, which is doubly ironic because I do get lacrosse because I used to play it. So it's weird. Like, you'd think hockey and lacrosse being, you know, within a similar sort of, you know, stick to implement game, but no, hockey, I watch it, and I've been to a couple of games, and it's a pleasant enough night out, but there's a fanaticism around it, which I just can't quite get into.
I think I understand what you're talking about. Yeah, because I feel the same way I think about sports in general. I do follow them. I've played many of them. I do have teams I like, but not to the point that I'm going to beat the hell out of someone or, you know, treat it like a religion or something like
that. There is an interesting tribalism that goes along with sports, and it actually speaks to the martial art piece as well. So you like watch BJJ is a prime example of that. I mean, I love BJJ. I've been doing BJJ for quite a while. I trained with lots of really good guys over the years. Jack McVicker, who's probably someone that you welcome. I trained with Jack for a little over a year when I was in Champaign-Urbana. Jack is honestly one of martial arts' best kept secrets. Everybody, many more people should know who Jack is. He's
oh yeah,
well, top no, of the I'm food chain.
Get him on here because
yes, oh yeah, you need to.
I love Jack. Jack's like, I'll tell you a story about him as we kind of go along. It was pretty funny. Him and Ryan were in October camp here, and my birthday falls generally right in camp, so we go out, a group of us, to this Baja Cantina place just down the street. And it's normally, I mean, LA, honestly, the places I go into are not going to be roughhouse places, and suddenly this night turned into something like that, and these guys are facing off with the security and everything else, and I happen to know the guy that was the head bouncer. He just wasn't there that night. Actually, one of my teachers, a just big, big dude like me, taught me actually all of my clinch, like Greco clinch stuff, when he was about 400 pounds.
Whoa.
So that's the size of guy I'm used to dealing with in a clinch. It's great. He shrunk down to my size now. He's like 250. So he goes, damn it, I taught you too well. And I'm like, well, it's your fault you shrunk. You know, it's like, but it's better for you. You've done this, you're going to be with us a bit longer. But but yeah, so these rowdies kind of got into it, and I'm sitting there basically right next to Jack, and I forget who else is sitting with me, and I'm thinking, well, fortunately I'm surrounded by a good pair here should, you know, some nonsense happening. And the look of amusement on his face was like, yeah, okay, you guys probably should move along before this gets stupid. And it's just kind of one of those moments where you just kind of laugh at the company you're sitting in and the possibilities of things. And it's, anyway, so that's my kind of funny, had a funny moment with Jack story.
Jack's the best. I love Jack.
Champaign, Illinois.
Yeah, well, actually, it's I lived there for a year. My wife, this is going to get complicated, so I'll try and give it a short version. My wife, we met in the police when I first started in police in the UK, and she was actually my sergeant. She was responsible for the whole training division for Western Kent. And so she left the police to go back to full-time education because she'd never got her degree and she wanted to. Obviously, I stayed on the police at the time. And she had the chance, because when a mature student goes to university versus when a normal person goes to university, they tend to take that shit a bit more seriously because they know what the real world's like. So it's like, okay, I'm here for a reason. I'm, you know, I've done my life bits. Now I'm doing the education bits. So she was, of course, like, you know, first knocking a coursework out the park and things. And every...
University of Illinois then.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, University of U of I, yeah. But she was actually at City University in London, who have a partnership with U of I for exchanges. So she did her second year at university for England, which was the equivalent of the third year, because it's 4 years in America, if I remember, or is it?
Yes.
Anyway, there's 4 years. I think it's 4 years for an undergraduate degree in the States. So her second year was the third year in the US. So it was like your penultimate year. So she got the chance to go over there and do an exchange program. She said, what do you think? And I was like, okay, I mean, that'll be a giggle. So of course, as her husband, she gets her study visa. As her spouse, a significant other, I automatically get entry there as well.
Great.
So we went out there, and I got a temporary work permit, and I was working at a liquor store called Discount Den, now sadly closed. It was great. And we lived in this little town called Champaign-Urbana. And of course, the first thing I do is Google martial arts clubs in CU. Now, at the time, I was doing JKD, I was under Lee Bander in the UK, and I was very, very heavily into Paul Vunak and the PFS material, because that was my first introduction to JKD outside of the magazine articles. It was the Street Fighting series of videos.
Ah, yes.
Specifically Volume 1, The Straight Blast, which is still a classic. It's still a great video. And I saw Jack was actually, I think he was Midwest director under Paul, and I was like, holy shit. that's pretty boss. So went out, and then of course you find out as well as that, obviously he was under Megaton at the time. I think he was a brown belt under Megaton at the time. And so went there, said, hi, name's Jay, blah, 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 and just trained there. You know, and there was some great guys there. There was Kyle Watson, UFC alumni. He was training there at the time. Mike Aref, another friend of mine, Bobby Brown. I think he's still doing rounds and things. And it was just a really, really cool crew. Really cool crew of guys.
Yeah, it's funny because I was born here in California originally, but my parents are in Illinois. So around 71, they moved back there. So all of my memories of a kid are from there going up. So did you ever hear of Quad Cities or Moline, Illinois while you were there?
No. Where we did go was there was a bar, now Bloomington Normal, which I think was on the border. Now, this was great. This times they have changed. This bar had a connection to Jens Pulver, Lil Evil, if you remember him from back in the day, the MMA fighter. He was either a co-owner or he used to hang out there a lot, and there was a big, you know, Jens Pulver thing going on there. And he used to drive to this bar, which I'll charitably describe as a shithole. It was like a barn, right? So it was a giant barn with a bar at one end, spit, sawdust and stuff on the floor and tables all around. But in the middle, massive ring, like boxing ring, right in the middle of the bar. So you'd go there. Now, bearing in mind, this is proto-MMA days. I think the Ultimate Fighter Season 1, it had literally only just started. This is, you know, WrestleMania 17. You know, Austin and The Rock, you think you're special? It was that time. So, but you'd go to this bar and you had three choices. You had MMA, submission grappling, or basically tough man. And you'd write your name down and what your weight was. And you could imagine how accurate the weights were.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm about 210. This guy comes in, it's like, you know, eclipsing the sun and shit. It was. I don't think they were doing big weigh-ins. It reminded me a little bit of the unlicensed boxing scene in the UK, where as long as you look vaguely the same way, yeah, good enough. But it was, you put your name down, which thing you wanted to fight in. And then as the evening went on, your name got called out. You went into the ring in the middle and you did your match. It was one of the most surreal yet simultaneously awesome experiences I've ever had there. It was really, really fantastic. So we went there en masse. It was about 15 to 20 of us, but basically all the club except Jack. It would have been useful to have him there this particular night. Of course, I'm on a career hold from the police in the UK. So most of the people there are A, younger than me anyway, and B, university frat boy students with a couple of good old country boys. So I'm not there. I'm just going to sit there. I'm going to enjoy the show. This is going to be interesting. So Kyle Watson being Kyle, he's straight into the submission grappling thing, which very few people do, because those are the guys that take the shit seriously. So because there wasn't much of a big MMA circuit or big sub-grappling circuit even back then. So you'd sign up, have a submission grappling match in a bar. Yeah, good stuff. The tough man is the guys at university who think that, you know, they're up for it, swinging at each other's heads in jeans, you know, guts hanging out of the shorts. It was good. It's fine. It is what it is. But the MMA matches were literally proto-MMA. They were like certainly not the extensive rule sets that we have now. Now, Tony Zaborski was the kid that was going up for it, and really, really nice guy. And he was fighting this other guy who he had a kind of Tito Ortiz vibe. He had the bleachy hair and he had the shorts and the things on. And it's like, okay, fair enough. So the referee went over, explained the rules, you know, no biting, no gouging, no headbutting, no elbows from the floor, blah, 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 blah. You understand? Yep, no problem. So Tony gives a thumbs up. Then he goes over to the other corner, says the same things to those guys over there. You know, we just see him talking. Fight's underway. Scrap, 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 scrap. At some point, Tony ends up, pulls guard on this guy, and he's working guard, and he's going for submissions. All of a sudden, the guy postures up, and boof, he just drops the cheekiest nodder you've ever, right in the middle of Tony's face. He just blasts it in there, because Tony goes, dunk, dunk, like, heads off the floor, and he's like, claret coming out of his head. So our corner is instantly like, the tables throw up like that, and there's like all these guys going up, and I'm like, oh shit, it's going down. So then his corner get up because they think the fight's on. The ref jumps in and it's about to go. I mean, it literally looked like West Side Story stand up, you know, like the they're clicking fingers. So cop comes in, me, comes out, and I'm like, right, okay, whoa. I'm gonna so back off. So I got the referee and I said to the referee, so what the fuck are you doing? And the ref went, my fault. He said, I forgot to explain there was no headbutts to the other kid.
What?
So I'm like, so of course, being tactful guy that I am, I said, well, just so you know, oh, you're a fucking idiot.
I would expect no less from you.
So I went, oh, I'll put my hands up in the air like that and went over to the corner. I said, all right, guys, chill. I said, our guys were told no headbutts and you weren't, but my guys don't know that, all right? So how about we just talk? And they were like, well, I'm like, whoa. I said, we can go if you want. I said, you just give me 5 minutes to leave because I'm enjoying the middle of this shit. Anyway, we calmed it down and, you know, handshakes all around. They bought us a round of beers, problem solved. But it was a hell of an experience. A bar where you can literally sign your personal, your safety away just because you signed the sheet. So how much do you weigh? I don't know, 210? Yeah, I'm about that. Okay, well, that was fine. Which was, again, you ain't doing that these days. But even in a very control contained environment, there's one powder keg away from the whole thing going off, which forms the basis for a lot of what I do with the reality check videos that you alluded to earlier.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny. It's really an interesting look into what you saw there, into an era and a place, because I remember a lot of that from my time period in the Midwest, which was back then and even a little earlier. And then I moved out in the 90s off to other places, but yeah, that kind of thing was very commonplace. And it was interesting how realistically contained it stayed with people kind of following those rules.
Yeah.
You know, more and now, you know, I think we see a little kind of like more of what you saw there, so it's just an interesting change in times and that sort of thing. But yeah, but you know, we should backtrack just a little bit, get a little bit of your origin story here.
Sure.
You know, where you're from, and this is actually the first time I learned that you were in law enforcement, and it does not shock me actually at all. Your ability, no, honestly, you're very articulate in the way you bring things apart, and honestly, what you described there was a very, in my opinion, amazing de-escalation that our law enforcement here doesn't really have the ability to do, and I know you that kind of thing recently in your whole thing you did, I think called Aftermath.
Aftermath podcast. Yeah, it was the first episode. I used to do the one called Baying of the Hound. I've kind of retired that one, and now Aftermath is the new product going forward.
Yeah, and that's a good one, and I'll give it a quick plug, and we'll talk about it a little later as well. But that was a really amazing breakdown and panel you had on that. I thought that was really good.
Oh, two awesome guys, Rich and D.
Yeah,
first
that
class,
was
first class guys.
Really, really good. Really good. So, yeah. So, you're originally from England, obviously.
Yep. Manchester, to be precise, and to be even more precise, a little town called Hyde. Now, if people try to get a fix on Hyde, there are two things I can name for it. One is Ricky Hatton, the boxer. He actually came from there. One of my great boxers. Love me some Ricky Hatton. And the other thing we're famous for is Dr. Harold Shipman, who was one of England's and the world's worst serial killers. And if you go 4 minutes down the road, we had Ian Brady and Myra Hindley, the Moors murderers, who are also a particularly nefarious serial killing couple.
I think it's all that rain. It's all that rain.
It must. It is. It's all that tripe. It's all the tripe weight up there, you know. Well, no. So yeah, Little Town Hyde, lovely place growing up. Everyone. When I talk about my childhood, I had an amazing childhood. I had a, you know, awesome mum and dad, great friends, school was fun. And there was nothing really major other than, you know, I was a little tub of lard as I was getting into my big boy years. But up until about, I don't know, 13, 14, nothing major had gone on. It was just a perfectly normal, happy childhood. Everyone, you know, especially when you talk to martial artists, everyone seems to have a competition to out austerity each other. So Yarko, when I was growing up, they used to kill me before I woke up, bury my body, raise me from a necromancer and send me up the chimney. It's like, okay, good dude. I had breakfast, went to school, came home, watched TV. We had very different lives. But it was a perfectly happy, perfectly normal middle class upbringing. What the change came about for me was when I got my ass handed to me by three guys on the cobbles, and it wasn't even much of a beating. I can still remember the guy's name. His name was Richard Fitton. And I was coming home one night, and I had my lacrosse stick and helmet on one whole shoulder. And if memory serves, I had a cheese and onion pie in a bag because we baked that in home economics.
Nice.
And it was near High Chapel Church, which is in G Cross Village. We got off the bus, came around the corner, and he shouted out, "Is your name Cooper?" And I turned around and I said, "Yeah." And it was him and two of his mates. And he said, "I understand you want to fight me." I'm like, "I don't even know you are, pal, let alone want to fight you." And he said, "Well, I've heard differently." And I sort of like shrugged. And then he just pounded him right across the jaw, just clean. And he got a little signet ring on. No.
And this concludes the abbreviated version of the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast. Please click the like and subscribe buttons, as well as the notification bell. Also consider subscribing to the full-length podcast at www.patreon.com/malmag or purchasing individual full-length episodes at malmag.gumroad.com. Thank you for listening to this episode with Jay Cooper. Next week, I'm headed back to the Midwest, and I'm going to be talking to Indiana's Adam Rector. Check out the Malmag store at www.martialartslifestylemagazine.com and click on the store tab. There, you will find a full selection of Timmy B's brand sticks for FMA and Kirby Kerbong, as well as Timmy B's and Dos Manos t-shirts. Many more products coming soon. Also, click on our courses tab to purchase online courses, right now featuring a course in the Dos Manos stick of FMA. More courses to come. This show is produced by Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine. Visit us at www.martialartslifestylemagazine.com and enjoy the free version of our online magazine with articles, a recommended schools page, and a worldwide events calendar. Music by Jack Al Relic. Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine and the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast are trademarked and copyrighted by TNT LLC.